Tonight is Passover. It just so happens, even though today is Wednesday, and in the Christian calendar, very often we call it Holy Thursdays when the Last Supper in the Christian calendar is, but it just happens that in the Jewish calendar right now, today is Passover. So I find it God's way of bringing our two faiths together, because after all, Jesus was Jewish, but he also came for the Gentiles. And so he came for all humanity. So, of course, God uses this opportunity for us to learn more about the Passover and what it means also that the Messiah had come and became the very Passover lamb. So I'm going to go to the book of Mark tonight and kind of go through the Last Supper and then do some teachings on that to kind of educate and lift you up to understand the spiritual significance of why Jesus had the Passover with his disciples as the last meal that he had on this earth before his crucifixion and death and then resurrection. Because it all fits in with what all the prophecies had said who the Messiah would be. And it fits in what God's promises were, are, and will always be to come as well. So in Mark chapter 14, I'm going to begin at verse 12. It says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the day of Passover, when lambs were sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover supper? So Jesus sent them into Jerusalem to make the arrangements. As you go into the city, he told them, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare our supper there. So the two disciples went on ahead into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said. And they prepared the Passover supper there. In the evening, Jesus arrived with his 12 disciples. As they were sitting around the table eating, Jesus said, the truth is, one of you will betray me, one of you who is here eating with me. That's to fulfill one of the prophecies that we read in the book of Psalms, my enemy, who is a friend, has betrayed me. Greatly distressed, one by one, they began to ask him, I'm not the one, am I? He replied, it is one of you 12, the one who is eating with me now. For I, the Son of Man, must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it would be for my betrayer. Far better for him that he had never been born. As they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and asked God's blessing on it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and as they drank it, he said to them, this is my blood, poured out for many, sealing the covenant between God and his people. I solemnly declare that I will not drink wine again until the day when I drink it in the new Kingdom of God. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. So we see in this particular scriptures, we see the story unfold of the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper as it later became for the early Christian church. First of all, it was on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This ties back to the Old Testament, where God had the Israelites ready to leave Egypt. And so he told them to get rid of they didn't have enough time to let the flour rise so that they would be able to escape Egypt and get away from the Pharaoh. So they used unleavened bread. And in the Jewish tradition, even today, here's a few things that happen, just so you know, from the Old Testament times and the Torah. First of all, on Palm Monday, which would have been earlier this week, there was a selection of a lamb. That lamb was an unblemished lamb. So the father of the house would go and find a lamb that was pure enough that it could be sacrificed for the Passover dinner. So that happened on Palm Monday, the day after Jesus rode into Jerusalem. We already know that Jesus was the chosen by the Father to be the Lamb. And we know that John spoke of that in the book of John, in the early part of John, that look, there is the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away sins. So you can see how the old and the new are already in place. On the second day, what happens is the night before Passover, people search in their houses for leaven because it's one of the things that they would clean out of their house because that would reenact the unleavened bread being used by the Egyptians, by their Israelites as they were to leave Egypt. And so they would go the night before and clean their entire house. And one of the things, as I was studying this, I found out that many times the Jewish people would sell their leaven or their yeast to the Gentiles. And then after Passover, they would buy it back. So they would wait 8 days after Passover and buy it back and reuse it again. We in the New Testament church, what we know is leaven is also referred to as sin. So we have to, when we're going through our life, this is also a time that not only Jewish people, but we Christians, we look in our life throughout Lent and we say, where's a place in my life that needs to be cleaned out? And right before the Passover time, we look around and we see what's in there that needs to be cleaned out of our life. And so leaven is also what we refer to as places in our life that we miss the mark. So also in Mark, we notice that Jesus tells the disciples to look for a man who's carrying a pitcher of water. So this correlates to the fact that one of the things that happens the night of Passover is as the guests come into the house, what would happen is a servant would take water and wash the people's feet. This was traditional in the Israelites' homes, or the Jewish homes. We know that in John chapter 13, Jesus becomes a servant instead. He uses the water that this man had put into that guest room where the disciples were, and Jesus gets up from the table. You read it in John 13. He gets up from the table, puts a towel around his waist, and washes all the disciples' feet with the water that came from the pitcher that the man had put in that place. So God was getting all those steps ready before Jesus' even time at the Last Supper. And it's the idea, and we know that Jesus told the disciples, as I've done, also do for one another, wash one another's feet. He was setting the example that he came as a servant. So the servant wasn't there to wash the feet, but he was. And that's who Christ is, the humble servant. And so what also would then take place would people would wash their hands, which, gee, just so happens all of us are washing our hands a really lot these days. The hands would be washed. And then there would be a table setting of four glasses of wine. And those four glasses represented four different times that the Jewish people would drink. And we see that Jesus drinks three different times, but on the last one, the fourth one, he says, I won't drink wine again until the new kingdom of God comes. That kingdom hasn't been ushered in yet. That's the second coming of Christ, just so you know. So the four cups of Passover are this, and they come through Scripture. God said, I will bring you out, meaning he said to the Israelites, I will bring you out of Egypt. He'll also bring us out of every kind of circumstance we find ourselves in. The second cup was, I will save you. I will deliver you, which of course we know as Jesus sat there drinking that wine with his disciples, he knew he was going to save people. Thirdly, the third cup would be, I will redeem you. That's also, you'll find all this in the book of Deuteronomy. I will redeem you. We know that redemption came through Jesus Christ. The cup of redemption is what he drank. That fulfills the scriptures that come in the book of Isaiah 53:11. He will give his life as a ransom for many. He's the redeemer. And fourthly, I will take you as my people. That's the fourth cup of wine. As a messianic part of this, what Jesus fulfilled, one, he's going to make us holy. Sanctification means making us holy, making us better, making us like God, cleansing us of who we used to be, living a life as a disciple of Christ. Secondly, he's going to save us from sin, of course, by the shedding of his blood, which is what he brought up during, as you read in Mark, or I read in Mark, Jesus said, take this as the cup of the new covenant, the covenant of my blood. So he was going to be that final sacrifice so that we no longer, nor do the Jewish people any longer have to go and sacrifice anything, because it all happened through Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that he gives us the cup of redemption, forgiveness, so we could be one with God and reconciled to God. And the fourth thing that hasn't happened yet is the messianic age that hasn't happened. That's going to happen in the second coming. That's why Jesus said, I'm not going to drink this fourth cup. And very often they would leave a cup open for Elijah to come. But remember, Jesus said Elijah had already come. So that's already been fulfilled also as well. So as the dinner happens, there's more hand washing. They recline at the table, 18 inches above the ground, so they're all reclined there at that table. And then they're served by a helper. But in this case, we notice that Jesus takes the bread, which is the unleavened bread, breaks it into pieces. This obviously represents how his body is going to be broken on the cross. And he says, take this. It's my body broken for you and for all humanity. So he also, by breaking down his body and sharing that bread with his disciples, he was giving a piece of himself, because we know he is the bread of life. And so in the book of Revelation, it speaks of all things becoming new. When the kingdom of Christ does come, when he comes and drinks at that festival time, when he comes back to earth and brings peace, and once and for all, the kingdom of God, as it is in heaven, becomes on earth. That'll be the day all of us will gather together around the supper. It won't be the last supper, it'll be the first supper at that given moment. The first time we're all together in paradise, where there is no tears, there is no sorrow, there is no more death. It's been totally defeated, obviously, by Jesus on the cross. But there won't be any trials or tribulations anymore, which that'll be an awesome, awesome good day. And in the book of John also, while Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he also reminded them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would come after his death. He tells the disciples, I'm going to leave you now, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. Even though I'm gone for a short time, you'll see me again. And then by my going to the Father, I can send the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the one who will be with us all, no matter when, no matter what. So the Holy Spirit, we know, came because Jesus died and rose from the dead. And so we today still, even though we sometimes feel alone, the Holy Spirit is always with us. And every supper we have, every time we gather together, every time we have communion together as a church body, and we'll do that again, I'm sure, in the days ahead. I believe in that. And when that happens, when we share that bread, we're going to remember the sacrifice Jesus made, but also the promises he made, the example that he set, that we should wash one another's feet and continue to do so by our service to others. So God has told us through Scripture and Old Testament, New Testament, the New Testament fulfills all the prophecies that were ever written down about the Messiah. We know that it came in the life of Jesus Christ and in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So all the promises that God made to bring us out of a circumstance we find ourselves, even death, to save us, to redeem us, which is forgiveness of sin. And he already took us as our people. There's a restoration that happens when you know that you belong in God's family. So this is Passover night. We know that the Jewish people continue to celebrate and remember how God spared them, and they were able to escape from bondage. And then we as Christians, we know that we've also escaped death, and we've also escaped any more problems we could ever have throughout our lives through Jesus Christ. And Jesus became the door and the way into eternity. So we have two different belief systems, if you will. But Jesus, as a Jewish man, fulfilled the Passover meal, but also became the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away all the sins through his death on the cross, which we'll be here Friday night to reflect upon and to remember and to understand just how deep God's love is for us all, so much so that he sent his son, and Jesus willingly went to the cross so that we could be redeemed, saved, and made part of God's family again. So after they finished their meal, and yes, there was one of them that was a betrayer, but that was a fulfillment of Scripture, because that's how all of the Scriptures line up in the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. You can see repeatedly over and over and over again how Jesus was the Messiah that everybody was waiting for, the Savior of the world, came to redeem us, to set us free, and to give us life everlasting. And so as they left that meal, they went out singing hymns, praising God. And you know, and I, when you think about Jesus understanding that he was about to face the cross and be arrested that night, in fact, and face death in an excruciating way, on the way out, he was singing praises and hymns to God. Why? Because he knew how awesome it was going to be that when his mission was fulfilled, lives would be changed. His one life would change lives for everybody for all eternity. His sacrifice saved us all. And so tonight, as we end this service and we think about what's coming up, Good Friday will be here at 7:30. Sunrise service will celebrate and go looking for him in the tomb. Oh, he won't be there. And then we'll come here again at 10 o'clock and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord through our worship service. But for right now, we'll sing and we'll praise and think about the great love that God has for us all. And no matter what we're facing right now, we know that we can always praise God regardless. And so at a traditional Passover, at the end of their service of sharing all those various herbs and gefilte fish and the bread and the wine, they would read Psalms 115 to 118. So if you want to do a little reading between today and Friday, you can take Holy Thursday to read those Psalms. Those are the Psalms that praise God for all God was about to do as well. And that's how the Passover always ends for the Jewish people, but also for us as well. So as we sing praises to our God, continue to think about all the beauty and all the wonderful things and all the lives of love that you have in your life, and especially how great God is to us all. Amen.